I think we probably all agree that the Psalm 23 is probably one of the most known and well read, or known, many have memorized, and we'll be looking there a little bit tonight. And I'm thinking about spending some time on Psalm 23 tonight in the next couple of weeks. So kind of be just a little bit of a talk and encouragement about how to handle stress before stress handles you. And then we'll go back again and go through the Psalm verse by verse and break it down a little more and look at, to take a little closer look at some things in a different approach as we study. But Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, and we'll read that in just a moment. I got pulled over for the first time since I've been in Arizona in surprise. What a blessing. Very kind officer gave me a warning. I promised him, I thanked him, I said, I promise that you will not see me through that window again. Next time you see me, it'll be over a cup of coffee or somewhere else. And he just smiled and said, I'll take you up on that. So I trust that it went well. I made a wrong turn. And in surprise, they drive slower than they do in Buckeye. They drive slower than they do in Goodyear. They got lower speed limits all over the place in Surprise. And so I was in a different area today with a dental appointment this morning, and then over to Costco to get tires from Michelle's car. I made a wrong turn, and before I realized it, it went from 45 to 25, and I went right back up to 45 and looked in my mirror, and I saw a police car. I looked, as everyone does, I looked at my speedometer, and I said, oh boy, he's going to light me up. So I just took off my foot off the gas pedal and coasted for what seemed like forever. And then he lit up his lights and I pulled over, and then we had a little bit of a fellowship. Very nice young man. And it always pays to be nice and courteous. And he took my license and my information, went back to his car and came back in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And I said, I'm going to let you off with a warning. What? Not like you were driving crazy or anything. Got a clean record. And I thanked him and I said, hope I don't see you again, as I mentioned. But anyway, my stress level went up just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, we have things in our life to trigger a little stress, or some things come up, you know, as part of life. Let's look at Psalm 23, and we'll look at verse 1 and 2 tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Later we'll come back to that. But man, there's so much there if you want to study it out. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not just a shepherd. He is my shepherd. And we should make that personal, each and every one of us individually. It says, the author David says, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Notice, he maketh me. He doesn't lead me by the green pastures. He maketh me lie down by the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, we'll get back to this a little bit later in Psalm, but I don't know how old David was when he wrote this. There's some that said he was younger. Others that said he was a little bit aged, reflecting back on the years when he wrote this psalm. You know, it really doesn't matter to me when he wrote it. I'm just glad he did. You know, so much here. Now, the sheep in the Middle East get up and begin to graze and to browse about 4 a.m. The shepherds begin to lead them out of the sheepfold, and when the dew is still on the grass, you know, it is very quiet, and the sheep will graze for hours there, kind of like some of you do at the Golden Corral. They'll just graze there and spend hours there. I just had to get that in there. I don't know where that came from, but I just thunk it, so I wrote it down. But just that time of grazing, and I mentioned before, we lived in Germany. We had the privilege of having a shepherd in our county, and often would come by the property. We lived on an agricultural farm, and he had some privileges and rights to come by there once in a while. And when I was doing the first time of study on Psalms, I would go down the road, even during the winter months when it began to get cooler before the grass was covered, and just watch that shepherd, watch those dogs and how they were trained, how we used them, and begin to observe some things. And then as that shepherd feeds it and cares for these sheep, and by the way, there's a couple of good books by, I believe, by the name of Keller, the Shepherd's Eye, the Shepherd's View of the Sheep, the Sheep's View of the Shepherd, and some other books. Really good if you, it's written by a shepherd out of Australia. It's a good book. Then about somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, they say that the sun is very hot, like it is here in Arizona, and if all possible, the sheep will find a secluded place, hopefully a shady place with green grass, and allow the sheep to lie down. So often with us, I think the Lord wants us to lie down, wants us to take a break, wants us to rest, wants us to feed on some things, but I wonder how often we allow him to be our shepherd, the way he wants to shepherd us. Here the sheep will lie down for 3 or 4 hours and just chew the cud. Kind of like some of us want to do after going to the Golden Corral. Go home and just take that nap and sleep it off. And it's during this time when the sheep get very quiet. It's there when they are still and begin to digest the grass and that they had already taken in or ingested, and they begin to chew the cud. And during this time, they are growing the fattest. They are putting on the fat, so to say. They are putting and growing the wool. They are maturing. And dear friends, and that's what helps us when we are getting involved in allowing the Lord, laying down in green pastures, getting in the Word, and taking it in, allowing us to grow maturely in the Word and digesting that and bringing back up that aspect of chewing the cud, rehearsing what we studied, rehearsing what we've read to help us to grow a little fatter, a little stronger, to produce a little more as believers. You know, every good shepherd knows the importance of quiet time. I know when I was a young boy, my mom appreciated quiet time. She wanted about every afternoon after lunch, quiet time. And it's good for us to have quiet time as well. It says there in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down. You know, you can study this out. I don't have the answers tonight. I'll do a little more studying. But why does it say, maketh me to lie down? He leadeth by the still waters, but maketh me to lie down. I know one thing, that sheep are not very intelligent. They're not very smart. They need a shepherd to guide them, to lead them, to correct them, and to tell them what to do, to take them to the grass where they need to feed. And I remember that shepherd having a couple different tones in his whistle. And those dogs knew what that whistle meant, to run, to bring one in, usually just barking or a little nipping at their heels to get them back, or whatever it may mean, but the dogs knew exactly what to do. How do we respond when the Lord sends someone our way to bring us in? When someone, the Lord maybe uses a message or uses something you read to nip at your heels and to bring you back in order. And tonight I want to talk to you about stress. How to handle stress before stress handles you. Is stress ever a problem for you? Go ahead and nod your head. We're only human. There's times that we're going to battle with that. You know, we need to be honest. So many folks I know are stressed up and nowhere safe to go blow up. And we end up blowing up at home toward a spouse, a child or a teen toward a parent. But we do get a little bit of stress. You're tense and you're frantic and you're running around, maybe too busy, but very busy, so much in a hurry. And then we let Satan tell us it's wrong for us to be quiet or to be still. You know someone that just can't be still? They just can't be quiet, doesn't quite know how to hit the pause button or the off button. And so often I think we as believers need to understand there is a time that we need to be quiet, where we need to be still, especially during those times where we make the time to get in to the Word of God, to read and to meditate. Other time is just to be still, maybe to ponder and think about life, to think about ministry, think about your family, your church family, how to pray for them, or even how to pray for your community. You know, how can God speak to us if we're going 100 miles an hour in 4 different directions in our mind? Not just in our bodies, but in our mind as well. You know, I heard of a woman who called her pastor up and said, "Pastor, I tried to call you all day Monday and you didn't answer." Well, he said, "Monday is my day off. And, you know, it was a day of rest. I was resting. I just took the day off." And the lady replied, "Preacher, the devil never takes time off." The pastor replied and said, "Yes, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil." Now, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same position. We do need to sometimes come apart before we fall apart. And sometimes we bring that stress on us, whether it be a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, a lay person, a lady in the church, you know, people in general, that if we're not careful and we don't take that time that we need, it can affect us. See, God wants his sheep to learn how to be quiet, to get quiet, to lie down in the green pastures, to drink from the still waters. You see, I've read, and I don't know this from doing it myself, but I've observed and I've read, but sheep don't like to drink from rushing streams, but they will drink when the water is in a quiet pool. So it says, "So he leadeth me beside the still waters," because the sheep don't know where to find it. And so often we don't know where to find certain things. That's why it's important that we do get quiet. We allow him to make us to lie down by the green pastures. While we should allow him to lead us to the still waters. So how do you handle stress? I think as many as people have I asked tonight, I probably get that many different answers or close to it. But how do you handle stress? Well, I believe here in verse 2 has a lot to say about how it can help us handle stress. Again, this passage, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, there are three things I want to share with you tonight concerning, first of all, number one, security available in the shepherd. Security available in the shepherd. We have so many things available to us through the Lord, through the Word of God, but how often do we take advantage of what's available to us? How often do we observe there, take it in, or to try it, that it might be a help to us? Do we allow the shepherd to be a good shepherd? He is a good shepherd, whether we allow it or not, but do we allow him to be the good shepherd for us and in us? I want you to say to yourself here tonight, I am secure in Christ. We are. I mean, no matter what's going on around us, there's some things that the devil just can't take from us. They can't rob from us. The world can't take from us. I mean, like I mentioned before, old John, I read somewhere in a biography where John R. Rice was robbed at gunpoint, and he just smiled and said, hey, don't threaten me with heaven. Now, I don't know that I would say that in today's society, but the bottom line is, no matter what happens here in this world, I'm secure in Christ. And that should give us some peace and help us to alleviate some stress in our life. You see, he maketh me, verse 1, he leadeth me. See, Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah of the Old Testament being our Savior Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd in John 10 and verse 11, and we'll get there in just a moment. He is the superior, not only the good shepherd, he is the shepherd for the Christian, and we should allow him to work and lead in our lives. Jesus is the good shepherd, Jesus is the great shepherd, and Jesus is the chief shepherd. And because of that, I have security in the shepherd. See, it's easy when we're young to lean on mom or dad, to lean on a big brother or a big sister for security on when we're afraid. I've noticed that since here of late with the girls being around the house so much more that sometimes now instead of hollering for mom, sometimes they'll holler for papa or for gram. Sometimes it's because they're crying and hurt. Sometimes because they're scared. And sometimes maybe because they want something, but they know the source. And dear friends, we know the source. But why does he have to maketh to lie down? Why does he have to leadeth to the still waters? Notice with me a few characteristics of the shepherd. He's the only one who makes us. He's the one who leads us. Now, let me give you some characteristics again about the good shepherd found here in the Word. He is compassionate. He is compassionate. Bible tells us in Matthew 9:36, and don't have time to go through all the verses, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. Our Savior was moved with compassion over the people as sheep because they had no one to lead them. They were fainted. They were scattered abroad. Compassion comes from our English word meaning with and passion, meaning to feel or to suffer. See, Jesus, our shepherd, saw the multitudes as sheep having no shepherd. And that's what caused him to leave heaven and come and die for us. He is a compassionate shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. And I'm so glad that he can be our shepherd all at the same time, collectively and individually. Do you realize that the personal relationship each of us have in the shepherd? Do we take it for granted? When's the last time we thought about who he is, what he has done for us, what he can do for us, and the things he has done for us in the past? He is my shepherd. He is compassionate. Now, we talk about folks who are so kind and so considerate. He's one of the nicest gentlemen I've ever met. But even all these wonderful, kind, compassionate people, can't cast a light into the compassionate shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ. Do we lean upon him? Do we allow him not only to lead us beside the still water, but do we allow him to lead us to the green pastures, or do we have to be in a point where he has to make us to go there? Now, there's times when we get away from the Lord and he has to discipline us or chastise us and may force us to come to the word. But the Lord wants us. He is so compassionate. And then notice that he is caring. He is caring. As you think of the shepherd, my dear friend, your dear friend, think not only of compassion, but also think of the compassionate shepherd, think of as the caring shepherd. You know, no one cares for me like the lowly Jesus. The book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And dear friends, we are the flock. He is the shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. I remember reading the book where it referred to often, just what I read, I'm not a shepherd again, that when they have had times or difficulties with some sheep running off. And there was time that I've noticed there in Germany with the shepherd there, and maybe they do things differently now, but he would have those dogs go and nip at those sheep to get them to go back when they kept wandering. And often I noticed it was the same two or three that were always wandering or not keeping up. And he would whistle one way to one tone to one dog, a different tone to the other, and they would go, as I mentioned, get those sheep and get them back, and they usually would bark first, and if that didn't work, they would nip at their heels. But I read in some of the times past where they would actually might even break or hurt a leg of a lamb, and then the shepherd carry them until they healed. And so often the Lord has to get our attention, has to discipline us, break us, so to say, sometimes, to get our attention that he might love on us, care for us, nurture us, and to help us to be where and what we need to be. Isn't that great to know that he cares us enough to deal with us? Aren't you glad that the Lord is so tender to us and gives us what we need and not what we deserve? Amen? I'm going to tell on Michelle. I would have done the same thing. But something happened this past week where it was one of those things normally we would have corrected one of our granddaughters or any of them that had done it. But it was one of those days that's been so long, so difficult, and it's been a difficult week this week. I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm behind. And there was one of the things where she said, just do what you want to do, and she walked out of the room. Have we not all done that at one time or another? Ladies, with your husband or with the kids or young people when they're home? Aren't you so glad the Lord doesn't do that? He patiently gives us and deals with us as we need it. It's been somewhat of a stressful week for me this week, and some of it mostly brought upon myself, but I've also had a wonderful time of fellowship with some of you as well as some others that I've met along the way. I've discovered that I need to shuffle my schedule a little bit. It's a little off topic, but I'll tell you anyway to help me with some accountability. I just can't take Monday off anymore. I just can't. I've got to find another day. I take Monday off. I come in on Tuesday and I have a time of fellowship with the guys. And once a month we have the deacons meeting, and then I'm back over to the church office trying to do some things. And it seems like if my car is here or people are around, I want a fellowship. So here it is, a half a day Tuesdays went by, and Monday I took off, and I thought, man, I better get busy on Wednesday. And that's why so often we don't have PowerPoint, is I can't get done in time and do the handouts and get it to Ken in time. So I said, I've got to rework this. I've got to work on Monday and take a different day off so I'm not so pushed on Wednesday. You know, we all have those days where we have to change things because stress gets in the way, something happens, a wrench gets thrown in our schedule. But even through all of this, our good shepherd, he is compassionate and he's caring. He's caring. Even when I drift, even I'm not where I need to be, even when we're not doing some things we should to be, he deals with us lovingly and compassionately. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Boy, thinking how much I knew as a young boy, how much my mom and dad loved me, how much my wife and my children, my grandchildren loved me, but they compare in comparison how much the Lord loves us. and how much he wants us to succeed and to do well, and how he wants to help us. He is a caring shepherd. He cares and he carries us gently. And then number three, he is courageous. In John chapter 10 and verse 11 and 12, here the Bible says, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He didn't only just say that, he did it. You know, we often will say, you know, I'd give my life for my wife, for my children, for my husband. And I'm sure many of us would. You know, dare that a man would give his life for his country. But Jesus didn't just talk about it, he did. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. You see, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is sure, and he points these things out. And now, folks, the wolves are after meat. They are after you, and they are after me. I did a series some years ago on Let's Go Hunting, and I wore my camouflage tie each Sunday night through the series. Encouraged some of the men to wear their camouflage, and we had camouflage up, and a couple Weisenheisers brought in a few deer and pictures of deer and other things in camouflage and some other. We had a lot of fun with it. But we talked about this in the sense of the same thing with Satan. He is that ravenous wolf. There are many, many dangers for the sheep in that day, and as the Lord talks about, but as well today. There were wolves, there were bears, there were lions, there were thieves who would come and slaughter and steal the sheep. They were wild dogs and scavengers of all kinds. And today, dangers are a little bit different, but they're still there. The danger is still very much alive and in many forms. And that's why we sheep need a shepherd. There is the internet. There is smartphones. There is other things. And as my pastor says, very careful. As the Bible says, warns the men not to be caught in a net. You know, he likes to refer to that as internet. He preached a message on that once some several years ago. But think about that for a moment. The attacks from the Satan may come in different areas. The attacks from the wolves may come in other areas, but they're still there, and he is still there for us. He is still our shepherd, though the dangers be different. Jesus said, a false shepherd, one who is only paid by the hour, a hireling, he will flee, he will leave the sheep. But the Lord says here in John 10, 11 and 13, a good shepherd will fight for his sheep. Do we allow him to nourish us, to strengthen us, and to provide the things that we need? There's so many things that he does provide for us, but we don't always make ourselves available to them. He provides a church. He provides services through the church of Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He provides fellowship for the men and for the women. He provides other opportunities for church members to get together for fellowship, for encouragement. But do we take advantage of that buffet? Do we attack the Golden Corral buffet a little bit different than we attack the buffet the Lord provides, spiritually speaking? He is our shepherd. He provides those things. Sometimes he may need to make us or to challenge us to lie down in the green pasture, but he always leads us beside the still waters. And dear friends, we live in a day today, as it says here, of the false shepherd, the hireling. So many churches today, so many cults today, and I don't want to get into Sunday's, past Sunday's message, but again, so many churches today that have fallen prey, pastors and leaders, of allowing the Satan to not lead them by the still waters. Not as they lie down by the green pasture, maybe the Lord even having to make them, are they taking advantage? That shepherd can lead them to grass and can lead them to the still waters, but they have to partake. And we're living in a time where we go to services and you can't feel a thimble of doctrine or theology in a service, but they have music for 45 minutes or an hour. They have other programs that more emphasize in self-embetterment than providing for the sheep. And that's why it's so important that we not only to be faithful, and I'm so glad, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but even being here on Sunday and Wednesday really isn't sufficient. We need to have a daily time individually in the Word. If I only ate physically on Sunday and Wednesday, it might be good for my figure, for my health. But after a while, physically, I would become weak. After a while, I would have some other issues and problems if I only partake of a meal once on Sunday or twice on Sunday and a Wednesday. After a while, it might would catch up. Those others that have other problems with health or cancer or diabetes and other issues, it would attack them even more so and as we age. But do we take the opportunities or advantage of what the Good Shepherd has provided for us? You see, folks, we need, what we need in order to deal with stress is security that is available to the shepherd. Why we stress, why we have problems often is because we don't take advantage of the security that we have in the shepherd. You know, I've read an article some time ago about car theft. And I know today it's quite humorous. All you need is a USB cable and find a Kia and you've got you a car. And if you haven't read the news, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But one thing that we found out is often was the keys were left in the car. The car was left unlocked. The alarm wasn't set. Even when you do those things, your car still could be stolen. What I'm saying is if you take advantage, don't leave your keys in ignition. Don't leave the engine running while you're running for a cup of coffee. Somebody might hop in and drive off. We don't take advantage of the security that is there. Do we take advantage of the things that the Lord has provided for us? They're there. They're there for us if we'll get in and partake of it. Again, we may be weak like sheep, but he is strong. He is secure. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. You see, security is the first thing that I myself saw in this passage of scripture as I read. And that security helps me deal with stress. I have to remind myself at times, but when I'm feeling that stress, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Talking to others that are overwhelmed or discouraged, it's easy to go and say, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And further, we'll go a little later, he restoreth my soul. Those things come in order. Get to the green pastures, enjoy the still waters, and let him satisfy and restore your soul. Stress has got you down. Why let it absorb you? Why let it consume you? Why not look to the good shepherd and ask? The summer is coming. The hot weather is coming. A lot of friction things will be going on. People will be frustrated. We'll feel like we're being attacked. We'll get frustrated at those four-way stops. We'll get frustrated with the heat and the person in front of us. I was one of those persons today, sitting at the light, and the light turned green. At least the guy behind me said it did because he blew his horn at me. I don't know how long I was sitting there, but I did notice the right lane next to me, there were no cars there. So evidently, I've been sitting there because they cleared off. You know where my mind went? My mind went thinking about tonight and wondering, Lord, what can I do? Not only to help me, to help myself, and to add some things to the notes that I've already prepared and give to my folks. And sometimes I'm learning that I don't need to do that when I'm driving. Because every time I do and I stop at a light, my mind goes away. I'm glad my foot just stays there on the brake. But it's so often it's good for us to click off the mind, click off the visual of what's going on, and just listen to the Lord. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And at times he maketh me. Let's not put ourselves in a position where he has to make us to sit down by the green pastures. Let's hunger for them and get there and then enjoy the still waters that he provides for us that he might restore our soul. Sometimes we get to enjoy the benefits of green pasture and still waters and don't even need our soul to be restored. But it's always there when we need it if we'll look to him. Amen? Amen. All right, so I'll get my notes here when... Hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is the last step with our...